Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pain. Keith McPherson on the fan. See, the thing about being a fan is no matter what, you're going to feel pain when you root for a team, when you share your life with a team, you have life experiences like I have, being a little guy, being a teenager, being a grown man. As a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm done. I'm out, yo. Jerry Jones is fried, absolutely cooked. How do you wait to hire a guy that nobody else was interested in? I'm done. That's the last thing I got to say about it. If you guys want to comment on it, that's cool. I'm live on Instagram at Keith McPherson. If you want to check in on the chat there, if you can't get on the phones, we got a bunch of people calling, a bunch of people waiting. I've got 2 hours to talk to everyone. I'd like to do that. Let's get into it. Harry in Babylon on the fan. Thanks for holding, Harry.
Thank you very much, Keith, for taking my phone call. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
You're a stand-up guy. I heard that whole interview with Warren Moon. I thought it was awesome. I really did. And I missed that gentleman calling in, but I heard your rebuttal. And all I got to say is one thing. My son, Connor, he's a 16-year-old kid. He met you at FanFest this past summer. He looks up to you. He's called you. He's one of your young Jedi. You keep doing what you're doing. Stand up, son.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Shout out to Connor.
That's all I got to say, man. Stand up. I really appreciate everything you do. I know you're a young dad. Keep doing what you do, man. I got 3 young kids myself. Well, not young, but...
They once were. Thanks for the call, Harry. Appreciate the support. I will always stand up for myself, for other people. I will always inspire young people. I will always just keep it a bean, keep it a buck, keep it 1,000, man, whether I'm on air or off air. And that's the thing, you know. Like I just said, there are people that listen to the show that actually know me. But more and more, this is year 4, there are people that have actually met me and seen me in real life, like Connor. And then I know who I am. That's the first thing. Know yourself, know who you are, and stand for some or you'll fall for anything. 888-808-1019. Jose out on Staten Island. You got it.
How you doing, Keith?
Fantastic. On the fan.
Keith, earlier I heard when that guy was talking about black quarterbacks, but I'm in my 60s, and I remember watching football back in the 90s, the 80s, and 70s. And I remember in the 70s, Pittsburgh Steelers had a guy named Joe Gillum. Now, that's the perfect guy to talk how they would treat him, because he was one of the first ones that came out of, I think it was Tennessee Tech or Tennessee State, and was drafted
Tennessee
by Pittsburgh.
State.
Yeah, and he was a quarterback, and he did good. And I think in 74, I think it was, he won 4 games. He played 6 of them. And, you know, and they put back Terry Bradshaw and took him back in space. But the guy was, he was very good. He was moving Pittsburgh and everything and never got a full chance to really show what he was as a quarterback and stuff like that. The bad thing is, since he passed away in, I think, the year 2000 on Christmas Day, you know, a lot of people don't know about him, and he was one of the first ones that opened the doorway in football for a black quarterback in that time. In the 70s was one of the hardest times to be a black player, especially a black quarterback.
A black person.
Talking to him, you had all these other quarterbacks, Unitas, you had name it in 69. You had all these guys coming that were out there during that time. And unfortunately, like I said, he was an 11th round. He was with Pittsburgh. And, you know, he started out, I think, in 74, 4-1-1 or 4-1. So he was 6 games he started in the thing. And I always said, boy, he never got an opportunity. And he showed he was good. He was, you know, he was throwing the ball. I think Stallworth was part of that team. And when he later on, when he got in, he lasted like 4 or 5 years. And I don't know what happened after that.
Thanks for the call, Jose. Yeah, I'm aware of him, too. When, like I said, when I was in school reading books and researching these things, and I, you know, I talked about Warren Moon, I talked about Doug Williams, Joe Gilliam as well. That's not the first time I've heard that name or story. But yeah, just kind of trying to move the line away from that. Like, you know, I just don't want it to engulf the whole show. There are people that are checking in now or tuning in now, and if you missed any of the show, you know, you can go back on the free Odyssey app, start from the beginning, maybe play catch up during the break, or listen to any part of this show. And if you want to go on demand, you can go to wherever you get your podcasts. All of this will be podcasts. And like I said, I already think this is an all-timer because we had an all-timer, Warren Moon, but then we also had someone call in and try and turn the show away that I wasn't going to let them. And I appreciate you guys calling in. I have my back, but I got my own back. So let's get back to the regularly scheduled program talking about sports. Mike in Mattawan, New Jersey on the Fan. Hello.
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
My name's Mike from Mattawan. I have a question. If Shedeur Sanders goes to the Giants, do you see Deion coming to Rutgers to coach?
Coming to Rutgers?
Yeah, to see it, because he's always been around his sons, and that's one thing he said.
Why would he go to Rutgers to coach? Because to be proximity, to be close?
Yeah.
They're not getting rid of Shiano for Prime.
Really?
Yes, really.
Okay. All right. And thank you. What you said before, when that dude came on, you were right, and that dude was totally wrong.
Yeah, I could smell it on him through the phone. Thanks for the call, Mike. 888-808-1019. Greg Schiano is a much more accomplished football coach than Deion Sanders. Now, I know the prime effect, prime time. I just told y'all I was a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan. I had that 21 jersey. I watched when Deion came through and won the bowl and all that. But about Deion and Shedeur, let's get these things clear. These guys are millionaires. They are obviously father and son, but they're about their business. I've heard calls in the last month or so about, would Deion be on the sideline with the Giants? Doing what? You think he would come and take a coordinator position under Brian Daboll? No, he is the head football coach at the University of Colorado, or Colorado University. He said he put a kickstand up there. He's trying to continue building on what he started out there. He was the first name we heard Jerry Jones talking about to hire. I would have rather Jerry Jones hire Deion Sanders than Brian Schottenheimer. But Deion is not trying to leave there, okay? And he's going to let his son be a man. Now, might he influence the draft if it's looking like the Browns are going to take his son and he don't want to go to Ohio and doesn't want his son to go to Ohio? Yeah, maybe. I really think they want him to land in New York with the Giants. I told you all season, I'm like, how many times? I can remember at least 3 different times seeing Joe Shane has popped up at Colorado, probably to scout both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Deion Sanders is a Hall of Famer. Deion Sanders is a multimillionaire. Deion Sanders is a head football coach in college. And I know you guys think, like, you know, just for example, like he will come to Rutgers. They're not firing Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano will be there until he doesn't want to be there. This is his second time around. Shout out to him. He recruited me when I was in high school. I remember sitting in that room. He said he was going to put a fence around the state of New Jersey to keep all the talent in. He couldn't do it. Everybody went to Penn State, Georgia, Virginia Tech, UVA, Syracuse. But yeah, no, Deion is not going to leave Colorado to do anything like, no. Shedeur Sanders is coming into the NFL as his own man. And of course, you'll have like the shadow of Deion, but I don't think Deion is going to try and leave Colorado to coach. at Rutgers or with the Giants. That's not going to happen. So let's just kind of like realize like that's not going to be a thing at all. I don't know. Lou and Astoria back on the Fan. Hello, Lou.
How you doing, Keith? Thank you for taking the call.
I'm good.
He's on Barkley, right? I mean, the quarterback position is very important in football. The running back is not getting any more credit for, you know, for the position they play. Since the quarterback has been protected so much, and they become not only just a passing game, but you know what? They run a lot. And the running game, as far as the Barkley is concerned, why would he stop not breaking that record when he needed to promote the running back so that way they can get back into the game and get appreciated and get paid?
Thanks for the call, Lou. Why wouldn't he go for 2,000 yards? I think we had this conversation. I would assume every show on WFAN had this conversation. They're in the NFC Championship. They're one win away from the Super Bowl. If Saquon Barkley slid to keep everyone healthy in the divisional round, or the wild card round, rather, it's about that. Nick Sirianni is already, like, you know, not a favorite son of Philadelphia. If he actually okayed it for Saquon Barkley, and the offensive line wanted it. They wanted to be immortalized with 2K say. They wanted him to get the record. They wanted to say, we're the guys that blocked for Saquon Barkley, and he broke the record. But you could not risk him getting hurt. Now Jalen Hurts is hurt. He's got a knee injury. Quinyon Mitchell had a shoulder last week. Guys get banged up. It's a long season. You could not potentially risk Saquon Barkley, who has an injury history. Giants fans will tell you all about it. You could not potentially risk hurting that guy for a record. You play to win the Super Bowl. Pete is in Massapequa on the Fan. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Keith. How are you doing, man? I never spoke to you before, so it's nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Before I make my commander's point, just that guy before, you can't, you know, teach stupid. So just ignore what that guy said before.
I think you can't teach it. You can't fix it either.
You can't fix stupid either. Anyway, with the Commanders, I'm a huge Commanders fan. I'm 52 years old. It's been miserable for the last 20-something years. But I caught the end tail of a call before. Somebody was talking about that they just added Wagner. I mean, did this guy, whoever called before, realize that they added 32 new stars this year? New owner, new GM, new coach. Everything was new. 32
Cliff
stars.
Kingsbury.
No, yeah, Cliff Kingsbury and Bobby. I'm sorry, Witt. Witt is the D coordinator. I mean, he added all these new pieces. And let me tell you something. Last week, I was petrified about the Detroit Lions, and I felt like we were playing with house money. I'm scared to death this week just because, unless Jalen Hurts' knee is a little more wiped out than they're playing on, because if you can contain Jalen Hurts, the last game they were able to keep Saquon Barkley doing nothing in the second half once Jalen Hurts went out. So I'm just worried about Jalen Hurts running all over, freeing up Saquon Barkley, having them have to bring guys up to keep Saquon Barkley, you know, blocked, and Jalen Hurts just running around doing his thing. So I'm really curious as to see how banged up Jalen Hurts is. And in your opinion, do you think they have a decent shot or kind of no shot at all?
I think they have a shot. Thanks for the call, Pete. For the Washington Redskins, Washington football team, now the Washington Commanders fans, you have nothing to lose. You're way ahead of schedule, and your quarterback is not going anywhere. I understand the nervousness and the anxiousness you have being in the NFC Championship, being one win away from the Super Bowl, but looking at this quarterback and looking at the situation around him, there's a good chance that you get back. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be one and done as far as going to NFC Championship. I think they have a shot against the Eagles. One, if we want to start with Jalen Hurts, because he's compromised. He's got the knee injury. Is he going to not be touched? I think he's going to get hit again. He could re-aggravate that on the field. He broke the game open last week with a 44-yard house call. He ran 44 yards. It was a beast of a run. I don't expect to see that out of him this week. Now, you got to stop Saquon. You couldn't stop him the first time. I do not expect A.J. Brown to have a monster day. I don't expect Devontae Smith to have a monster day. Not against your secondary. Not against your pass rush. So I think it's going to come down to who makes the most mistakes. Now, you know, even when Warren Moon was on, he cited the fact that, hey, they got to play in a dome last week. Yeah, they played in a dome, and the Detroit Lions kept giving them the ball. Short field, a team that doesn't have to punt with Jaden Daniels. You keep giving them the ball, you're not going to win that game. Three interceptions and a fumble loss by Jared Goff. It was a recipe for disaster. Now, I don't expect Jalen Hurts to turn the ball over. I don't expect Saquon to fumble the ball. I expect those Eagles fans to be on one. I expect it to be cold. I expect it to be a ground and pound game. And, you know, they're going to have to run the ball with Brian Robinson Jr. Shout out to Brian Thomas Jr., though. He's a beast. They're going to have to run the ball with Austin Eckler, who seems rested and energized and ready to go. And don't sleep. Quinyon Mitchell at corner. Man, I remember when they played the Commanders, I had Terry McLaurin in fantasy. I think the first time around, he locked Scary Terry down, shut him down. We need a performance like that again. But he's a rookie. He's got the shoulder injury from last week. I'm sure he's hit a rookie wall. It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. I wouldn't say that the Commanders have no shot. Jim is in Connecticut. Next up on the Fan. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Keith. First time talking to you.
First time callers. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for checking in.
What is going on with Dallas, man? What's going on with Jerry Jones? He's hiring these head coaches. Why not just keep Mike McCarthy?
He's absolutely fried. It's another power trip. It is thinking that you're the smartest guy in the room. It is hiring another yes man because you're the star. You're the face. If Jerry Jones could coach the team himself, he would. If he could buy the team and actually coach the team at any point, he probably would. This guy fired Jimmy Johnson. What it is Jerry Jones is getting up there in age. I think Jerry Jones is 82. And Jerry Jones says, I'd do anything to win another Super Bowl. Yeah, well, you're doing all the wrong things.
He said he was going to be all in last year at the in the last season, not just this past season.
What he meant was all in denial. He was all in denial about his own mistakes.
It's frustrating, man. It's hard to be a Dallas Cowboys fan these days.
You don't have to be. Thanks for the call, Jim. You don't have to be. That's the thing about sports. I preach loyalty, and I preach stay down till you come up for, you know, fans like Commanders fans that stuck through Dan Snyder's era and all the different coaches and quarterbacks that they had to watch, right? Stay down till you come up, because one day when you do come up, it's going to be glorious. But you don't have to be a Cowboys fan when it's so obvious that the owner is literally driving the car off the road. I can cite so many mistakes that this guy has made over the years. They're fortunate that they draft well, that they end up with a Tony Romo, that they end up with a Dak Prescott, that Micah Parsons falls into their lap, that CeeDee Lamb was available at like 17 overall. Like, they are lucky as hell that they are able to draft talented players like a Dez Bryant, like a Jason Witten, because they have done everything to screw it up. I mean, shout out to Stephen Jones, and wherever Stephen Jones is, he needs to grab the wheel. Pops is done.
When you're general manager, of which I am,
yeah, you got to remind everybody, Jerry Jones. You got to remind everybody that you hold like five different titles with the Dallas Cowboys. What a joke. Kyle is in Eatontown, New Jersey. Kyle, you got it.
How we doing tonight, Keith?
Good, you know, moving the line along.
So let me get this straight. And again, I'm a Packers fan. I'm just trying to look at it from your perspective here. This guy, Schottenheimer, he was on your staff last year?
Yeah, to sit upstairs and shut up while Mike McCarthy called the plays.
How in the hell do you keep anybody from that staff on the field?
And call, some guys are leaving.
Direction?
Al Harris, who is a highly respected individual in that organization by players, coaches alike, he's with the Bears now. This isn't going to go over well.
They're on
cap hell.
How did they let Al Harris walk to the Bears?
Nobody, I'm telling you, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad.
So this is my point, and I meant to call in Evan this afternoon. I think that the Jets made a great hire in Glenn.
Agreed.
I think he is going to bring the blueprint that Dan Campbell led the Detroit Lions with over the last couple years. I think that he's a player's coach. I think that's what the league is more about these days than, you know, a Ben Johnson, who I hope fails miserably in Chicago. You know, I think you have had to have done it, right? And Aaron Glenn did it. He played so long. You know, he needs to bring that new culture to the Jets. Like, they need a complete reset. I hope to God he doesn't have to deal with Rodgers and his drama. Because I root for the Jets, you know, being a hometown, you know, kid. But I'm a Packer fan at heart. But, you know, I think Glenn was the hire for Dallas. And them not even looking that way was a bust.
He didn't go there. Thanks for the call, Kyle. But, you know, Jets fans should feel good about the fact that Aaron Glenn made his last stop Florham Park, and he didn't go to New Orleans. He didn't go to Jerry World. Why would he? This is where he wanted to be. It was a homecoming. Like, that should make you feel good about the guy. I know a lot of people are still trashing the guy and trying to poke holes in it and same old Jets, and they're repeating the same mistakes. Nah, you're getting a guy that wanted you. And all the talk was, who would want this job? What GM and what coach would want this job? That's how I feel about the Dallas Cowboys. Who would want that job?
I know the one that has to change, and that's me.
Yeah. Man, I heard Jerry Jones say, sometimes I have to believe that 1 + 1 = 3. Cooked. Fried. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got to take a break. More of your calls coming up right after this. Mm-hmm. All right. Less than 90 minutes left for me tonight, for me this week. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Another 5-hour KM to AM. Obviously, we're talking football. It's a football Friday. As we get into the 11 o'clock hour, I usually do open mic time where, hey, if you want to chime in on, I don't know, the NBA All-Star voting, if you want to chime in on Jacob Markstrom's injury, if you want to chime in on something sports-related that I did not bring to the table, we can do that. I'll also, you know, play into some of my new segments as far as the ones that I talked about this week. What did we miss? Or make it about yourself? Or what came across my desk? These are, you know, beta segments. I'm kind of test driving them and seeing how they play. So we got people on hold that I feel like have been waiting for a while. I want to get to them, and I'll try to weave in and out with some other things to add my thoughts, my takes as well on these games coming up. The number to dial is 888-808-1019 if you'd like to get involved with the conversation. David is in Clifton, New Jersey. Next up on the Fan. Hello, David.
Hello. Yes. Keith.
Yes, sir.
Keith, I'm here. How are you, Keith?
I'm good. How are you?
I appreciate you, man, taking my call, bro. I'm so proud of you, man. And I appreciate your call. Dude, I called you before, once before. I had an alumni in Monmouth County running track. But I've spoken to you, and my first intention was to give a big shout-out to Josh in the Bronx. I appreciate your show, bro. You're the best, man. Seriously. You know what? You give inspiration for a lot of people, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like your whole story. It brings it about. Yo, you're reaching out not only to your age group, but you're reaching out to, like, the 50-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? You put it out there because I enjoy how you emphasize the potential of people. You know what I'm saying? I love that part of you, man.
Thank you.
And I do, because, yo, we all got potential on this planet, bro. And there's, like, certain things that, like, in life that, like, put things in our way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we all have a gift. God gave us all gifts, but God will put obstacles in front of all of our way, and you can let life beat you down, or you can get back up and fight and overcome those obstacles, and I believe everybody can. I know I have.
And you have. And you have, dude, and you have that voice, and you're letting everybody else know about that, you know? Yo, you got 50-something guys out here trying to figure out life, because at 18, we was at the club, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know what? At 50, guess what? I do want to make a change in my life. I want to make a difference.
You can.
And that's what you did. That's what you're doing. That's the message you put out. That's the message Warren Moon put out tonight. Guess what? Warren Moon, 5 championships. Sorry, I didn't swear.
You're all right. You're all right. Thanks for the call, David. 888-808-1019. That was passionate. That was passionate. But this is a children's program. We can't cuss. This is for kids. KM to AM. Is for, we are the world. We are the children, right? People still use the term young Jedi. I don't even do that because I was corrected by one of my friends. It's young Padawan. And then, I don't know, somebody wrote a whole Reddit thread like, you know, I hate when this guy refers to the kids as young Jedi. I was like, that was in 2022. It's 2025 now. My show has evolved now. The young kids that call my show have grown up now. They're driving cars and stuff. 888-808-1019. Here's one of them. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're back on the Fan.
Keith, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How you feeling tonight?
Hey, I mean, the start of the night was kind of a debacle. I was calling the basketball game for Bosco. I don't mean to go down that spiel again, but we kind of had some mishaps with the mic and everything. Then as our game's wrapping up, I don't know, I tweeted at you, actually. You see this whole, I don't know if you fully broke it down, this Miko Rantanen trade.
I did not touch on it, and when you're working in tech, expect tech difficulties. I've been saying that line forever. Whenever you're working in some type of, like, microphone, calling a game, doing something live stream, radio, like, there's going to be some challenges.
Yeah, but no, we rebounded second half, actually went pretty smoothly. Wound up being one of our better streams when it was all said and done. But as I was, you know, we were wrapping up, I got the alert, you know, random Friday night, we're not even close to the trade deadline yet. You see that, and this is probably the biggest trade to happen in the league, unless I'm missing something, since the Matthew Tkachuk trade, which obviously a couple years later, you see the ripple effect of that. Florida gets the one piece they were that separated them in a Stanley Cup, and, I mean, Jonathan Huberdeau had beyond a, you know, a decline as soon as he went to Calgary. I mean, this is a, you know, I saw a post now. Miko Rantanen, I feel like, last couple of years, he was getting a lot of, you know, more and more people were, you know, he was being seen league-wide, but he was kind of under Nathan MacKinnon's shadow for a while. Once they won that cup, though, I think he kind of broke onto the scene, was finally getting his well-deserved credit. But when Gabriel Landeskog was the captain of that team, that game they won the cup in, game six against Tampa, they hadn't played a single game together since then because Landeskog had been out these last 3 years. So the fact that now it's kind of, you know, the whole team's kind of getting blown up and they're bringing back Nakis, who, if you watch the Carolina game, he is a stud, man. Obviously, Aho's kind of like the poster boy of that Carolina team, but Nakis is a stud. He's no Rantanen, but with Miko being on an expiring contract, Nakis is a pretty damn good player to bring to Colorado. And also, Kevin Weeks, he's kind of like vague about breaking trades. He'll post like a picture, kind of be discreet. He posted a picture of one of those yellow bridges out in Pittsburgh. And kind of like the eyes emoji hinting that there's maybe another possible big trade on the way. I see some people saying Crosby to Colorado maybe because him and MacKinnon are like the best of friends. They grew up together in Nova Scotia. I know JT Miller was born and raised near, like, right outside Pittsburgh. I know there's been talks of him going either coming back here to the Rangers or going out to Carolina as well. Well, I don't know if that happens with the Miko trade. So there's a lot going on in the NHL right now. And I know I talked to the Rangers last night, but the fact that we're still a couple weeks away from the deadline and major trades like this are already going through, I mean, we might be in store for one of the bigger trade deadlines in a while because this is a bombshell tonight.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, so we haven't talked any puck at all tonight. I did see earlier Miko Rantanen, Taylor Hall traded to the Hurricanes in three-team deal with the Blackhawks and Avalanche. We'll see. I'm good on the Carolina Hurricanes. And I really it wasn't on my roadmap, but like I said, if you want to call in and talk about Jacob Markstrom and the Devils, right, that must have prompted Ross to, put that on our radar. What I'll say is this, the trade deadline is the deadline. It's the end. It's the last day. Man, you want to be proactive. You want to make a move. You want to be ahead of the game. And a lot of times those moves trigger other teams to make moves. So, hey, now they're going to get cooking in the NHL. I know the Knicks got to get cooking in the NBA. Knicks fans call in, are you going to trade Mitch Robb? Is he going to come back? Or are you going to target somebody else? Like, all of those conversations will come up. But, yeah, 888-808-1019. I hadn't talked any hockey yet tonight. Kind of been keeping it centered around the Bills-Chiefs matchup and the Commanders-Eagles matchup, and I'll sprinkle some more stuff in there. How come you guys don't ever mention Nick Gates from the Giants? being with the Eagles, right? We talk about Mekhi Becton from the Jets being over there and Saquon from the Giants being over there. Nick Gates brought some hog molly's mojo over there as well. 888-808-1019. Most of my calls are other sports topics, so I'm just going through my notes and sprinkling stuff in. In the NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills made a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs and allowed them to get the fastest player ever, Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40 time. Look out for him in this game. Last game, the receivers of the Chiefs were like a non-factor. That was a Kelce game. You didn't have to worry about Derek Stingley Jr. There was a whole game plan. Like I always say, Andy Reid is diabolical. He will be ready to go no matter who he faces. And I expect them to come up with some type of gadget play to get Xavier Worthy in open space, to get him into green grass. And as fast as that guy is, I expect him to score. I would sprinkle $10 on an anytime touchdown. I think that just the whole dynamic between that draft pick, that he's going to come up big at some point in this game. 888-808-1019. I put the breaking news out there that Brian Schottenheimer is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Also, Rob Saleh is going back to San Francisco to be the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. We are still waiting on breaking news out of Toronto. Are the Toronto Blue Jays going to sign Pete Alonso? Mike is in Huntington, New York. Mike, you got it. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Listen, I know you take about 50 calls a night, so you probably remember my call from 7 months ago, pretty crystal clear. But I'm calling to kind of expand on something I heard on the midday show today, and that's this notion that David Stern and is not signing Pete Alonso strictly because of Scott Forrest. And I really think this is probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. When I look at David Stern, correct me if I'm wrong, but he is a Met fan, and so is Steve Cohen. And if David Stern doesn't want him back, there's a reason behind it. The money's not standing in the way. Nothing's standing in the way. And I talked about this the last time I called. It's like we put David Stern in a position of power in order to make decisions like this. He's able to do something that no Met fan can do because everybody wants to emotionally bring Alonso back. Look, does he make sense in the lineup? Probably. But I got to feel like there's something there, and I cannot believe that it's just a screaming match between Boris and Stern. And who's got more power, and who's gonna make who miserable? I think that's like such a bogus take. And another comment that was made today, and I'm curious to somebody said today on the midday show that it's the player who works for the agent, and I feel like that's backwards. It's the agent who works for the player, and if Pete Alonso is hearing this and saying they're playing games with my future because they think it's a game, I'd be like, see you later, Scott. Have a great day. You know, I made a mistake hiring you, and that's it. So this whole notion is just bogus to me. I wanted to kind of hear what you had to say about it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. It's simple. As more time goes on, we are thinking way too much about this. As more time goes on, we are imagining things. We are making up in our minds what David Stearns is like, what Scott Boras is like, what their relationship is like, what their conversations are like, what Pete Alonso thinks. It is simple. Let me simplify it for you. If David Stearns and Steve Cohen could give a guy $805 million over the next 15 years, they could pay Pete Alonso what he wants to be paid to be a Met right now. They don't want him. It couldn't be any more plain and simple. They were willing to give him a contract at the price they wanted, really, I think, because of the fans. But I don't think David Stearns sees a vision of 30-year-old Pete Alonso, which is not old, but in his book, in his metrics, his analytics, whatever, I don't see David Stearns as a guy that's like, we just paid Juan Soto all this money. Now let's pay Pete Alonso money when he turned down money, when we don't see him projecting to being a good player. We'll go out and pay the really good players, but we see Pete Alonso as not aging well, and we can find out more about our internal options and spend this year looking at Brett Baty, as Brett Baty and Mark Vientos have been told to do drills at first base. You think? Of course. 888-808-1019. More on that when we come back from this break. KM to AM on the Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls and talking sports. Simple as that. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to join the show. Shout out to the first-time callers, man. Shout out to the people that never call, that just sit back, relax on a Friday night. Maybe you're driving somewhere. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at home. Had a long week. Hopefully you're warm where you are and you're just enjoying the conversation. I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things tonight. It's a football Friday. I had Warren Moon on. If you missed that, please go back in the Odyssey app to 820 at some point and hear the conversation that I had with the legendary quarterback Hall of Famer Warren Moon. It led to a little bit of a contentious call, but I think a productive call. You know, I was saying something last week or earlier, it was earlier this week, right, as we passed Martin Luther King Day. And maybe you didn't hear my show because it was on, you know, 11 o'clock at night. But I'm like, you know, every time we get past Martin Luther King Day and we think about what Martin Luther King stood for and what he talked about, like, I think we have made a lot of progress. There's a lot more progress to make. But, man, if I have the power to do it, if you have the power to do it, communication is key. We need to share our experiences. We need to be able to talk about our differences without being emotional, without being confrontational, without being triggered, without being irrational, without being offended. It's okay. We're all here together. And like, I started this show tonight talking about how I'm a full-blooded American. I don't refer to myself as African-American. I'm black. I'm a full-blooded American. I love football. I grew up on football. Football was my ticket out, was my way. So let's get back to the conversation around football. I was blessed tonight. Shout out to Connor, WFAN. I was blessed tonight to be able to tell somebody I admire, Warren Moon, that he inspired me, that very young, as I made my way, as I blazed my trail, to be able to be somebody in life, to make it out of my situation, learning about his life and what he had to go through, it inspired me. 888-808-1019. It is open mic time. For the rest of the night, I got 1 hour left. Whatever sports conversation you want to talk about, we can talk about, and I will bring some other things to the table as well from my notes that we maybe didn't get a chance to speak about. Now, I said before the break, more on Pete Alonso and the Mets as we get ready for Amazing Day at Citi Field tomorrow. I won't be there. I won't be there. That's not for me. That's not my kind of party. I'll be at the Pinstripe Pride event, though. A week from today, American Dream, I'll see you there. One of my new segments is Make It About Yourself. Yeah, I'll be hosting year three. Brian Cashman will be there. Devin Williams will be there. Oswaldo Cabrera will be there. Susan Waldman will be there. John Sterling will be there. Keith McPherson will be there, bopping around, taking selfies, signing whatever people want me to sign, shaking hands, meeting people in person at the American Dream, January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd. Go to HallOfFameSignings.com. That's our Yankee Fan Fest. The Yankees, they can't do Fan Fest at the stadium. It'd be too crazy. It'd be too many people. Tickets will sell out in 30 minutes. I think once upon a time I heard that they used to try to do something like that, maybe at the Javits Center, whatever. Whatever. Hall of Fame Signings has the event at the American Dream. You can get your autograph signed. Don Mattingly will be there. Reggie Jackson will be there. Bernie Williams will be there. And you can just hang out. Tickets are $20 to just come and hang out. And then there's different, obviously, prices and tiers and levels depending on who you want to meet, who you want to sign your stuff. And yeah, about Pete, I just think it's over. I just think it's too far. And I think there were parts in this week where I said maybe he comes crawling back, but there is no crawling back. These are professional athletes. These are guys with a lot of pride. The bridge is burned. And if you want to dream up some type of scenario in your mind of how it played out, do so. But all in all, this is a guy that we thought could be a forever Met. You get the richest owner in the sport and you think DeGrom's not going anywhere. Pete's not going anywhere. But I think last time around, DeGrom didn't really want to be here. I think this time around, Pete really did want to be here. And David Stearns is looking at him like, no, you have no market. DeGrom had a market. Like, he could go to Texas. And I think he kind of dodged one anyway because he got hurt. With Pete, Pete has no market, and the Mets aren't going to imagine one up for him to make fans happy, make him happy, make Scott Boras happy. They gave Scott Boras enough money. 888-808-1019, 1 hour left. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.